This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. What a full first hour it was, describing just how important it is to the global elite that immigration continues without end. If you missed it, you need to go enjoy it. Go get a podcast of it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now we're about to discuss that system, that regime, and what's happening, maybe some of their enforcement mechanisms for this stuff. You see, these people, they seize power and they use power. Again, this is the discussion we touched on last night. Eric Adams is feeling the brunt of that today. They seize power and they use power. And I have information from an FBI whistleblower, well, audio from an FBI whistleblower I'm going to play for you in a moment. Really quickly, though, Chris, you're going to run for school board? You think so? Jewish producer Chris is going to run for school board. I'm so freaking proud of him. This is awesome. Do you people have like a special group or something where you can manipulate some things or something? I mean, like a cabal? Is there a what? Is that not the way to put it? Shadow government. Oh, okay. Shadow government. Either way, that's awesome. I'm proud of you. How about that? Running for school board. All right. Now, we've watched abuse after abuse after abuse from our government, especially over the last few years. And I just described for you one of their missions, one of their main missions, unending illegal immigration. Now let's discuss their mentality, shall we? In fact, well, remember we played yesterday, Democrat Rep. Stacey Plaskett? I'm going to play this for you again before I play the FBI testimony. But just know, every single Democrat, not only in the House of Representatives, not only in the Senate, not only in the White House, but in the bureaucracies, the FBI, CIA, IRS, all these DOJ, State Department, they all feel this way about the power of government and what it should be used on.
What is the point of this subcommittee? Because it's necessary for the public and the media to hear, to try and provide cover for the eradication of the Department of Justice and the FBI. We are having these hearings so that you become immune. You become inured to the notion of the removal of the FBI and DOJ, so that those agencies are no longer there to serve as a check against white nationalism, great replacement theorists, Christian nationalists, white fragility, fascists, and the twice impeached convicted felon, former president, and would-be dictator, Donald Trump.
You know, there are a bunch of different groups I could point out, she said there, but great replacement theorists, that's what I am. I just spent an hour discussing the great replacement theory. It's not a theory. Democrats like Joe Biden have come out and said as much. They intend to replace you with foreigners who are more pliable. It's not a theory. Well, that's a Democrat member of the House of Representatives. She believes the DOJ's job is to stop me. Did you know that? She just said it. I didn't say it. She said it. She believes the FBI's job is to stop me. Okay. Now let's talk about the FBI. Marcus Allen is a very, very brave man. You know, I talk about these FBI whistleblowers, the Steve Friends, Kyle Serafins, Garrett O'Boyle, Marcus Allen. These guys are so heroic to me because they gave up their lives to expose this government. They gave up their careers, I should say. Thankfully, not their lives yet. But they gave up their careers to expose the evils that are happening within the walls of the CHECA, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is a very, very, very long. I have two very long bits of it. I'm going to interrupt it because it is so long. As Chris and I were discussing these clips before the show, you know how I normally pare things down. Chris normally pares things down, so they're easily consumable. 20, 30 seconds. A super long thing is a minute and a half. These are like 5 minutes. We couldn't find what to cut. It's that impactful. So I want you to sit back and listen to a Marcus Allen, FBI whistleblower. This is happening now, and this is an organization that believes it's charged with keeping you in check.
My name is Marcus Allen. I'm here to speak with the committee about how the FBI weaponized the security clearance process to retaliate against me for protected whistleblower activity. In late 2021, I raised concerns about the FBI director's testimony about the January 6th Capitol riot, not out of political motivation, but out of a duty to truth and integrity. This act, which I believe to be in the spirit of transparency and accountability,
I'm going to pause. Sorry, I'll let him keep going. Remember what it was about. That's going to be important for just to understand all this. It was about Director Wray's testimony about January 6th. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, along with the DOJ, along with Democrats, they have used January 6th as the jumping off point, as the ultimate excuse to hunt down and arrest over 1,000 Americans, and they've publicly announced their intention to arrest 1,000 more, all Republicans, all done, all justified by January 6th. Director Wray's lied about January 6th. This guy brought that up. I'll let him continue.
The unexpected and severe consequences. Almost exactly 3 years ago today, I forwarded news articles to my superiors and others within the FBI about January 6th. It was literally one of my job duties to keep my colleagues informed about open source intelligence related to their cases. As a result of simply doing my job, the FBI accused me of promoting conspiratorial views and unreliable information. The FBI questioned my allegiance to the United States, suspended my security clearance, suspended my pay, and refused to allow me to obtain outside employment or even
Remember, this human being's mortal sin was, hey, wait a minute, you just lied to Congress about January 6th.
Step charity. This once storied institution, whose initials ironically stand for fidelity, bravery, and integrity, was punishing me for bravely challenging their integrity while they questioned my fidelity. The suspension ultimately lasted for 27 months. During that time, the FBI held my family and me in indefinite limbo, awaiting a final decision. Determined to not lose our home, my wife and I took early withdrawals from our retirement accounts to survive. It became clear that the FBI, with endless resources, the American people's money, was trying to destroy me financially so that I would give up.
Remember why the FBI is trying to destroy him. Because he, not a political activist, was simply saying, hey, you're lying about January 6th. Why are you lying? You guys shouldn't be lying. This is what they did to
fear of countless potential whistleblowers who see the personal cost of integrity. There are no words strong enough to describe the impact the FBI's lies about me have had on me and my family. The stress has taken a toll on our health, and our children have suffered, traumatized by the thought of our door getting kicked in or dad not coming home. The battle for truth and justice will cost you, but the arduous good is worth it. The FBI's restoration of my clearance earlier this year, thanks to the efforts of Empower Oversight and the American Center for Law and Justice, was absolute vindication. It's a point I would not have reached without the prior help of Biglia Ranish and Judicial Watch. However, the experience is also a stark reminder of the system's flaws. It took legal battles, public scrutiny, and patience over 3 long years. No other FBI whistleblower has ever had his clearance restored as I did. Garrett O'Boyle and his family are still suffering in the same limbo we were, with no access to due process and no limit on the FBI's ability to delay and avoid independent accountability. How many other whistleblowers remain silent, fearing the same ordeal my family and Garrett's family faced with little hope of vindication at the end?
I want to pause for a minute. He's got a lot more to say, but I want to talk about that really quickly. As he mentioned, this evil, corrupt government, the FBI, is its enforcement arm. They went after him to intimidate the others. The other people, because there are, you've never heard me sit here and say, the great men and women of the FBI, that's something clown losers say. It's a criminal organization. But there are decent people there who are thinking about saying something, who are mortified that they've gone from being crime fighters to part of an evil secret state police agency. They don't want to be part of the Cheka. And what do? They go home and they discuss things with their wives, with their husbands at night. And they say, honey, should we do it? Honey, what I'm seeing is wrong. Honey, what they're doing in my department is wrong. Should I come forward? What should I do? What should I do? And they're having the very, very honest and hard conversation about the cost if they come out and say something. Just like evil governments do every time. They slam the book down on these whistleblowers as an intimidation tactic so the others who just might come forward and say something are too afraid. I will let Marcus Allen continue. He has more to say, and it's important. Next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right, we are going to continue on with our discussion here with our audio bit about FBI whistleblower Marcus Allen trying to give us an inside look as to how the Secret State Police Agency, how the CHECA operates already in this country. And if you think it's been bad so far, oh, man. You have no idea what he's going to say towards the end. Just buckle up.
Despite the stress and uncertainty, I've never once regretted standing up for truth. In fact, I'm grateful for the experience. Indeed, my family and I persevered due to our strength and faith, God's grace, and the sacraments. If you do not worship God, then you will worship something else. You can either serve God or you can serve mammon, but you can't serve both. This has been a purification. While we lost material items, we gained more important things. We've stored up for ourselves treasures in heaven. What we have gained spiritually has far outweighed what was lost materially. John Adams noted that the framework of our country was built for a moral and religious people, and unfit for the governance of any other. James Madison notes the duty to honor God is precedent, both in order of time and degree of obligation to the claims of civil society. Before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe. I recently learned about comments made by Mr. Jeffrey Veltri suggesting I was delusional for believing in and seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit. Mr. Veltri currently serves as special agent in charge of the Miami field office, but at the time he was an executive at Security Division overseeing security clearance decisions. To Mr. Veltri, I say you can insult me, but you should not mock God. It is an insult to the infinite dignity of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it is bad for the health of your soul. This isn't about me. It's bigger. I am hopeful that the truth of what happened will be fully revealed and deter the FBI from doing the same injustice to others. Though the path may be difficult, I must plead with other employees who have witnessed wrongdoing that they find the courage to speak up.
Now on that, as you can tell, guts him, emotional, very brave man who's been through hell. I don't know Marcus. Actually, I know the others. I don't know Marcus. I should reach out, but I want you to listen to this, and I want you to pay attention. It's one thing for me to sit here and say it. This human being has lived inside the belly of the beast. He knows what goes on inside the walls of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I need you to listen. Play it for your neighbor. Listen 10 times. Time to get ourselves ready.
And everybody in the minority party, there's some...
This voice you hear is Dan Bishop asking him.
Fearing what Donald Trump would do in the next administration while they sit here and they look at the guy who's been persecuted by the FBI. And everybody in the room understands it. Mr. Allen, do you have comments you wish to make? I give you about a minute, minute and a half, and then I want to turn the rest of my time to Mr. Jordan.
Yes, sir. I would just say that I consider the hearing today my last act of service as a public servant for the United States of America. And I'll give you my professional opinion. I was an intel professional for our country for many years, and I would give recommendations, and I'd also look at indications and warnings. So I would offer this to the American people as...
He's about to give you the warning.
My warning to them. Since this is a warning to the American people, I say, I personally have no confidence that the FBI will rein in its own conduct. I've been persecuted along with Garrett, Steve, and Kyle, and countless other whistleblowers. It is my opinion that the Bureau used reprisal and fear to control the workforce. and it's been a seemingly effective tactic. I personally believe that there are no current effective checks and balances against them conducting lawless action with any type of correction in a legitimate time frame. I welcome the work of the IG, but I think any type of lawless action, there's no legitimate time frame to rein them back in. Their ability to overclassify information can allow them to stonewall forever. To the American people, you have a duty as a citizen to vote, and I strongly urge you to do so. It's how you participate in the American experience. I know people have doubts about election integrity, but you must vote. It is your claim. Stake your claim and don't forfeit it willingly. Have your voice heard. My other recommendations are in the natural order. First, vote. The second is the Second Amendment. Arm yourself and know how to defend yourself. Make 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood and promise to come to each other's mutual aid in times of hardship. And during the Great Depression, people stocked up a pantry. So I think that's a good practice, especially in our economic times, and make sure you have 3 to 4 months of food. And as a person of faith, I'd say pray the rosary, go to the First Friday devotions. That's for everybody, all my brothers and sisters of all faiths, and I know I'm Catholic, and read the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and live it every day. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the time.
You know, Mr.
Federal Bureau of Investigation. He's seen the behind the scenes of the puppet show. He's seen the strings. He just told you to arm yourself to get to know 3, 4, 5 neighbors, stock up on food. That's not me yelling in the radio. This obviously, this guy's not some political activist like I am. He's a man who knows exactly how evil and powerful these institutions are, and he's telling you to get ready. Get ready. We don't know how November's going to go. Even if Trump wins, who knows? Remember, without a Congress willing to defund the FBI, it doesn't matter who's president. Nothing will stop. Nothing will change. In fact, on that note, I have one other thing I want to say on that note about the likelihood of change coming. Before I get to that, get your tea levels up, gentlemen. Everybody, get yourself ready. Being low T ain't going to be an option here in the future. Go find out about the natural herbal supplements at Chalk. Natural herbal supplements are the way forward. We have got to stop trusting the other poison out there and start looking to nature first for whatever we're looking for. Need some more energy before a workout? Go get some Chad Mode from Chalk. Want to start your day with all the vitamins, minerals you need? Chocolate powder in the morning. Me personally, I take a male vitality stack every single day. Ate them with my to wash it down with my breakfast tacos again today. Go get yourself some. Go see what they have. Just go to chalk.com, chok.com, and see what they have. Whatever you're looking for, they have something for it. And they'll talk to you. They'll help you. They're on the phones. You can text them. You can call them. 50CHOK3000. 50CHOK3000. One last word on this particular thing, and then we'll move on. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. About to wrap up our little ominous system weaponization FBI talk here. Don't forget tomorrow's and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you can get all your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. One final word on all this FBI system stuff. Okay, maybe a couple final words on it. Then we'll move on to some emails, other things. I occasionally get to talk to, I have to talk to people in Congress. People in the House, people in the Senate. I just spoke to another senator this morning. And it really hit me because I was discussing the Eric Adams DOJ stuff, FBI. More specifically, I was discussing with this guy the first assassination attempt on Trump. And I was trying to figure out who's responsible. What do you suspect? What have you found out? Because he's all over this thing, this senator. And What he told me is what I hear a lot, a frightening amount of times from members of the House of Representatives and representatives and senators. He said, Jesse, they're not telling me anything. They won't tell me anything. Jesse, I ask, and they won't tell me. This is a United States senator. It's known as the most exclusive club in the world. Massively powerful. A United States senator, we don't appreciate what a big deal it is, but if I was Senator Jesse Kelly and I got on a plane tonight and flew to London, I've never been, but and I got on a plane tonight and I flew to London and I wanted to meet some big shot or a bunch of them in the British government, one phone call from my staffers letting them know that Senator Kelly is in town, I would have meetings lined up. They'd be crawling all over themselves. Senator is a big deal. This United States senator is trying to get information from the Secret Service, from the FBI, from the government, from the DOJ about the first assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And they just simply are saying no. Sorry, we can't. Brings it home, doesn't it? Really, really brings it home. It brings it home how bad the problem is. And that brings me back to this. I'm going to get to emails, but this is why that CR that passed, the continuing resolution where Congress just punted on doing a budget again, this is one of the many reasons why I was screaming about it and was yelling about what a huge deal it was. Without Congress defunding them, there is no recourse as of right now against the deep state, the CHECA, the DOJ, unless Congress is willing to remove funds. And as of this moment, they haven't been willing to cut a penny. In fact, they're increasing their budget and building them a brand new building. Without removing the funds, we don't have any way to fight back. Unless we want to have a discussion about states, which I've had a talk with you about that many times before, the states are going to have to begin standing against the federal government in tangible ways. They are. They're going to have to start standing up to the federal government. If you live in a red state, your red state should already be completely changing the mission of its state police agency and of its attorney general. Your attorney general, your state police agency should be changed into a protect our people from the government agency. That sounds crazy, but without a defunding process at the FBI, DOJ, which we know we're never going to get out of the low-T GOP, we don't have any other recourse. It's our only chance. It's all we've got. But I should note, there's a lot of power at the state level. Don't be dismissive of that. I know we're talking about ominous stuff. The federal government, and FBI, and all that stuff is scary, and it is scary. I admit that. Our state system here, our state government, state police agencies, AGs, we have a tremendous amount of power at the state level if we get the will to do it. If we get the will to do it. Let's do some emails. Because tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you have to email your questions in right now. Don't wait. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Dear Jesse, when watching you with Tucker last week, there was one thing that really stood out to me. Tucker's abnormally large microphones. Or maybe it was just your small hands that made them look large. You know, that's not nice. You know what's happened? Let me tell you what's happened with all your insulting stuff. You know what's happened? I now am looking at my hands more than I ever have before. What, Chris? It's not funny. When I do TV, when I was doing my TV show last night, I talk with my hands. Anyone who watches me do the radio show knows I talk with my hands. I was talking with my hands, and I actually had a moment where my hands were kind of in my peripheral? Why can't I say that word? Whatever. In my side view. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, that does look small. And I got self-conscious about it. It's not funny, Chris, at all. All right? This is mean. Jesse, salad bar is the subject of this one. That listener must have heard salad bar instead of sound bar. I love your sound bar, by the way. I started watching your simulcast on the first TV, so I can see you reach over to press those buttons. It makes me laugh that much harder. Feed the bar. We do need to feed the bar. Jesse, Dome is purely a DEI candidate. Unaccomplished, does not have the it factor. Her record is an empty suit. You know, she's one of the worst I've ever seen, probably the worst I've ever seen. We actually haven't even done any of her interviews. She sat down with this Stephanie Ruhle chick, and I want to make sure we all understand this. I'm just laying this out for me. This was the very definition of a friendly interview. Stephanie Ruhle barely pretends to be a journalist. She's a Trump-hating Democrat activist. And so you know the two campaigns, you know, well, the Stephanie Ruhle camp and the Kamala Harris camp, you know they were coordinating before this entire thing. It's not like there were some out of left field gotcha questions designed to make Kamala Harris look good. In fact, with these people, it would be the exact opposite. They would have practically given her the answers to the test beforehand. Kamala Harris would have known going in that all these subjects were going to come up. She probably knew the specific questions that were going to be asked. And still, with all that, and I'm going to explain the kind of an analogy why this works this way. Still, with all that, she couldn't offer the most basic explanation of anything about anything.
How do you go after price gouging without implementing price controls? Because once we get in this zone, people start to get worried and they say, I don't know what she stands for.
So just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people.
Wait, what? That doesn't answer the question at all. It just constantly sounds lost.
And many feel like the government has said to them, well, adapt. Sit down, be quiet. This is how it is. What would a Harris administration do for those communities who've taken in many, many legal immigrants but are at capacity?
Well, first of all, we do have a broken immigration system, and it needs to be fixed. And if we take a step back, months ago, some of the most conservative members of the United States Congress came together with others.
This was James Lankford giving Democrats cover. Just want to remind you, that's who did that.
Proposed a border security bill that would have put 1,500 new border agents on the border to help those hardworking border agents who are...
James Lankford's bill would have allowed 4,000 new ones in every day before enforcement even started. James Lankford did that to you. You listening to Oklahoma?
They're right now working around the clock. Would have put more money into stemming the flow of fentanyl, which is killing Americans around our country and devastating communities.
Okay, yeah, she's not answering the question. You want to know why she can't? We're at the point in her life where she very clearly can't. I'll tell you why. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, an amazing Thursday. If you missed any part of our show, what a huge night it's been tonight. You can download the entire thing on iHeart, on Spotify, on iTunes. So we were mocking Dome and her disastrous interview, the ultimate softball interview. This Stephanie Ruhle chick practically powdered her butt for her. And even then, even knowing the questions, the subjects ahead of time, the two camps work together. They work practically as a team. Dome can't roll out anything but this rambling, nothing-meaning gobbledygook.
We need to guard that spirit. We have to guard that spirit.
Sorry, this is a speech. Go on.
Let it always inspire us. Let it always be the source of our optimism, which is that spirit that is so uniquely American. And let that then inspire us by helping us to be inspired to solve the problems that so many face, including our small business owners.
Hey, Dome, what about those price controls?
How do you go after price gouging without implementing price controls? Because once we get in this zone, people start to get worried and they say, I don't know what she stands for.
So just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people.
You know why she didn't do better? Because she can't do better. You know why she can't do better? Because if you do something, if you practice something or don't practice something for long enough, it simply becomes who you are, and you might not be able to change because it's who you are, because you've done it for so long. And this can work for better or for worse. You know, I've told you before, my wife is a health freak. She's like the most amazing eater in the world, too. It's veggies. It's like everything. Everything is perfect. Everything's perfect. That's how she's lived her entire life. So she wouldn't even know how to eat the way I eat. And she wouldn't. It wouldn't even appeal to her. No, she doesn't want a fried chicken taco with queso on it. No, she wants green beans and some lean chicken. You know, that it's completely changed who she is. And it works for worse, too. Have you ever known somebody who has an alcohol problem? Maybe it's you. Maybe you're struggling with that right now. Remember, keep struggling. You'll win eventually. But ever known someone who has that? And even into adulthood, they can't do anything without booze. Nothing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be watching a football game. You could be playing cornhole, golf. Maybe it's a business lunch. He's got two margaritas on the way to the table. Why? He's done it for so long. It's become ingrained, and it's become part of who he is. Kamala Harris, we all mock her, myself included, for being this complete moron.
I love you back.
And we laugh because she can't answer any questions and she gives these word salad answers. But remember, Kamala Harris got her start in politics because she was Willie Brown's side piece, meaning she got her start in politics not based on running a good campaign or some sort of merit. She found a politician who was powerful. She used her skills to endear herself to him, and he gave her start in politics. But that's just the beginning. If you know anything about her time in California politics, and everyone listening to in California right now will know what I'm saying is true, she got to run as the liberal black woman in every race she ever ran. And when you live in a communist state like California, you think the national media is bad and evil, and they are. If you go to the super, super blue states like Cali, it's worse. And so during her runs for whatever the office was, Senate, AG, whatever it was, this woman was never forced to learn issues, to give solid answers to things, ever in a million years, because she was always DEI dome. She was always the woman that had to be protected at any cost. And so you can get to this place. We've talked about this on the show before. This goes beyond Kamala Harris. We have tons of people now in this country because of this insane cultural Marxism who've risen to the highest positions of power and don't know anything about anything because the entire life of theirs has been based on their skin color or their gender or maybe they're gay, or it's all been based off of things other than merit and other than skills. And so you think, well, surely Dome knows this interview is so important. Now she's going to sit down, she'll learn the issues, she'll at least learn some intelligent talking points, and she'll sound eloquent and informed because surely she knows how to do it. That would be like going to me with my terrible eating habits and saying, Jesse, we're going out to a restaurant. I want you to order all the healthiest things on the menu and only the healthiest things. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I've lived my life eating pizza and cheeseburgers with a side of queso and ice cream. My wife knows how to eat healthy. She's done it her whole life. I don't know. It's foreign to me. You might as well put algebra in front of me. I don't know how to do it. If you're talking about Dome and being prepared for an interview so she doesn't know, so she doesn't sound like a moron, well, she's never had to do that. Ever. She didn't know how to do anything. She knew how to take care of Willie Brown, and she knew how to be a minority woman in California. And those qualifications are enough to get you into high office in California. We are asking a woman to do something she can't do. And the scary part about that is with everything going on, World War III and the dollar and all the crazy stuff, that woman might be the leader of the free world in a couple months. And she can't do an interview. She's, what is she, 57, 58, going on 15. Knows nothing about anything. Wild. All right. We don't know anything about dog food. As a society, I mean, I didn't know. I'm not blaming anybody. I didn't know. I've had dogs my whole life. I had no friggin' idea that they weren't getting nutrition from their food. I had no idea they were dying too early. Why is he at the vet all the time? Oh, man, this one, he died at 10. I had no idea that I was giving all my dogs empty calories. But that's what all dog food is. I don't care about your special blend or whatever. It's all brown because brown things are dead things. They kill everything in dog food at the factory. Is everything you eat brown? No, it's not. Things that are alive are green. Rough Greens is an all-natural nutritional supplement. It's a green powder. You don't have to change your dog's food. You put it on your dog's food, you will see physical differences in your dog. It'll startle you how short on nutrition your dog used to be, and your dog will live longer. Go get a free jumpstart trial bag, 833-33-MY-DOG, or you can go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.